Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along once again to the Melchester Odyssey. I have in my left hand the 25th of August 1984 issue of Roy the Rovers. And across the top it tells us, a great new soccer season starts today. So that must have been the date when the season started in 84. I forgot to mention our sign please in the last issue. Are you interested in who it might be?
The sign please in the last issue. Oh, right, yeah, because the week before last it was Jesper Olsen.
Jesper Olsen 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, test me. Well, or ask me. Is there a clue or anything?
I can give you a clue. Hang on a second. Celtic goalkeeper.
1984? No idea. I mean, I'd have to say Paddy Bonner.
And you'd be correct.
Oh! There he is. Okay, so he must have been reasonably young then, because I only became Paddy Bonner aware. I think everyone remembers when they first became Paddy Bonner aware, don't they, in their life?
Yeah.
It's like one of those moments that we all remember from our adolescence.
1990 for you?
Yeah, it would have been 1990, wouldn't it? Italian 90, he played quite a big role. No. 1988, when Ireland beat England in the Euros. Mm. That was when big Jack Charlton's Ireland team first sort of became a thing, in my mind, anyway.
Can you see that? How old does he look in that picture?
He looks 50. How old is he?
He's 24.
Yeah. 80s footballer age.
Anyway, back to the 25th of August issue. A new soccer season starts today. Again, it doesn't tell us who's on sign, please. I can have a look. I can give you a clue. He's a player who had a few clubs but started his career, I believe, at Luton Town.
Few clubs.
I'm psychically sending you the name.
Ricky Hill.
He actually started his career at Charlton, which I didn't know, but he became famous at Luton, I believe. His parents were called Don and June.
I don't think it's Ricky Hill.
His father was an electrician and his mother worked at Tate and Lyle.
Oh, good jobs. Where does his Where was he born?
Plumstead.
Okay. So it's not Ricky Hill, probably. Although I'm not sure.
Shall I give you a second club?
Yeah.
When this was printed in August 84, he just signed for Liverpool.
Oh, so I thought you said Luton before.
I said he made his name at Luton.
He made his name at Luton. And then he went, I know who it is. It's Paul Walsh. What?
Very much is Paul Walsh.
What a lad. He just won the Euros with the under 21 Euros with England. Right. He was in that team. He was a very good player, Paul Walsh, wasn't he? Very, very. He was very thrilling. He had an amazing partnership with Ian Rush. Didn't perhaps get as many senior England caps as he should or could have done. And
five England Cups.
Yeah, it's strange because he won the league with Liverpool a couple of times and was like first choice for them up front for a while with Ian Rush. So strange that he didn't get more chances. But I've got a feeling that he may have been a tricky character. I believe, and you may want to...
Off the field, you mean?
Yeah, I believe I've heard a story that he punched Ray Clements.
Okay. Oh, this is good. Hold on. There's two elements of his Wikipedia page which here were very good. In 1986, Bob Paisley wrote about Paul Walsh in Bob Paisley's personal view of the first team squad of 86-87, which is a book, apparently. And Bob Paisley was a man of few words, but he's got a lot about Paul Walsh. And he says, Paul Walsh can play teams on his own some days. When he's buzzing and bubbling, he whizzes around the field like a cartoon character with the ball tight to his boot. It's like watching a film that's running too fast. You want him to slow down in order to appreciate all the tricks he's getting up to. He might beat a defender on the outside, then turn back and go inside him and beat him once again for luck.
All right, calm down, Bob.
Bob Paisley.
Fucking hell.
Bob Paisley.
All right, Bob, don't cream your pants over Paul Walsh.
Yeah. Paul Walsh became a football agent for a short time. He also invested in property and other businesses, though lost money by investing in, drum roll, Australian fraudster Peter Foster, top flight time machine person of interest.
Peter Foster.
There he is again.
He pops up everywhere. It's like we're never more than half a yard away from a Peter Foster story on this podcast.
6 degrees of Peter Foster.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. Paul Walsh. In December 2007, he led a campaign against speeding fines in Hampshire.
I've had enough, as I believe most of the public have, certainly residents of Hampshire, have had enough of these ridiculous speeding fines. We're suddenly being told that a local authority can make us pay money just because we were driving our car too fast. What's the country coming to?
Speaking as a free man of the land, I find it impossible to submit to these demands for money. It's extortion, plain and simple.
You cannot legislate speed. Speed is not a physical thing. It is a concept. It
cannot be measured.
A creation of the mind. It cannot be measured. It cannot be shackled. And you cannot find me.
All right, anyway, that's Paul Walsh. Let's have a look at what's going on in the pages of Roy of the Rovers. Front page, we see fans. Are they arriving or are they leaving? Oh, they're arriving. Melchester Rovers were about to kick off the 1984-85 soccer season. With what many people consider to be the best team in the club's history. They keep saying that.
Yeah.
That seems as if they're setting us up for a fall, aren't they? Setting us up for more turmoil. But it was the Rovers' latest signing, in inverted commas. Is that an inverted commas type word? Is that
they'll put fucking anything in inverted commas.
It's a legitimate word. Mm. Which intrigued the fans as they flocked into Mel Park for the opening Cannon League game against Blackpool.
Cannon League.
The Cannon League. The first sponsored league. Yeah.
Great sponsor, Cannon, weren't they?
And there they all are, swarming into the various gates at Melchester FC with their banners and their scarves and their flags. There's some police presence, as a police horse. Everything looks good. The sun is shining. Spirits are high. Season's about to begin. But at that moment, we see Roy in the Melchester dressing room, and he's doing a team talk. He says, Blackie, I want you to pay special attention to Archie Thompson. He... dot, dot, dot. And the door opens. And I don't think he's even knocked. And it's Jeff Boycott, the new chairman. Hi, lads. Just thought I'd pop in and wish you luck. Roy does kind of a double take. His head spins. You can see the lines on the page. His head has spun. And the players all look worried. What is this? What is this intrusion? Fuck off, Jeff. What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Bite, you twat.
Fucking 10 minutes to kick off. Yeah.
You know that. You know, Top Light Time Machine, person of interest, Todd Bowley, right?
Yeah.
He's, I heard a couple of funny things about him. One was, like, Tuchel hated him, right, from the moment he arrived. Right. Because he was, obviously, the man's insane, right? And Tuchel is like a serious man, a professional man, right?
Also insane, but in different ways.
Yeah. He was fresh from his hand wrestle with the equally insane Antonio Conte. So there was a lot of madness flying around, but the likes of Tuchel and Conte, they're insane, but they're insane football men. Todd Bowley is an insane non-football man, right? An insane free man of the land. And he apparently, like, on his second game, Chelsea were, like, playing, I don't know what the score was at half-time, but Tuchel's given them their half-time talk, right? And Bowley just suddenly fucking walks in at half-time with a family. He's got some visiting family from the States who are close personal friends, and he's gone, hey. And they've got kids and go, hey, guys, you want to meet the team at half-time? And they've gone, sure. He goes, no problem, follow me. And he's just walked into the fucking changing room at half-time with his family, and encourage the kids and everyone to go around saying hello to all of the players.
Brilliant.
So that was the first thing I heard. The other thing I heard, and of course, you know, I don't know whether this is true or not, but it's a strong rumour amongst Chelsea fans, right, is that Todd Bowley, when he was sort of accounting all this mad money he spent and the financial fair play rules, which he was aware of, he was like, he understood that Chelsea were automatically in the Champions League every year. He was like, so right, we're a big club, so we're always in the Champions League. And someone had obviously said to him in negotiations, but I mean, Chelsea are the sort of club who are always in the Champions League, and that brings with it X million pounds a year. So it means you can spend more. And so he's gone, great. And apparently, no one told him until quite late in the season, no, you still have to finish. You have to earn it. You have to finish in the top four. If not, you don't go in. And he can't believe, because, you know, in America, they don't have relegation and they're guaranteed a consistent income. That's why the idea of the Super League came from America, really, because they don't understand how these businesses can run without the predictability of your income. And he's gone, what? And they go, yeah, we have to earn it. We have to finish fourth. And he's gone, well, I mean, are we going to finish fourth? And at this stage, they were like, they said, to be honest, it don't look fucking too likely at the moment. So
we're 13th, sir.
So now it's like he's done a fire sale. You know, he sold Havertz. He sold Koscielny. No, what's his name? The midfielder. They sold to City. They sold Loftus-Cheek. They sold Matt. They've sold their entire midfield, basically. And
Loftus-Cheek is like the Ravens in the Tower of London.
Yeah, exactly. He never thought he'd go.
On Chelsea's books forever, even if he goes out on loan every season. And he's just always there.
And like a Raven, he can speak.
Yes.
So the similarities don't end. But he only realised this summer that meant they weren't getting the Champions League money, which meant they had to sell all of these players to balance the books for financial fair play. That is Todd Bowley. That is the state of football today.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is nothing against Chelsea. I feel bad for Chelsea fans. You know, I mean, the small number of them who are proper fans who've been there forever, they're like loyal fans, and that some fuckers just walked in who hasn't got a fucking clue, bought their club and started using it as a daft plaything.
Yeah, it's a real shame after the last 20 years they've had. But of course, if you're not sure about that Ruben Loftus-Cheek thing and his ability to speak, there's a simple rhyme. His name is Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He has the ability to speak.
Mm.
That's how you remember it.
Like a raven in the tower. Loftus rather likes a shower.
We turn the page to the second of four pages. And fuck me, what is going on? It's in black and white, Sam.
Must be a print sale. Print strike.
On page two and page three this week for the double pages. And they're normally somewhere in the middle, black and white. It's like going back to the 1960s. I've never seen Roy the Rovers in black and white before. Maybe they were doing it. I remember this is the time when BBC Two used to show a lot of Harold Lloyd shorts.
Lovely.
I used to like watching them quite a bit, so maybe black and white was fashionable in 84.
Harold Lloyd.
Maybe they did it because of that.
Harold Lloyd. You know, for our next tour, I would really like us both to have straw boaters like the ones Harold Lloyd wore.
And round spectacles.
Yeah, and and if our musical director is listening... but I mean, he's often on tour, isn't he, in the States?
Pretend to be Billy Joel.
Billy Joel
in America.
Yeah, I don't know if they've got someone pretending to be Jeff Boycott alongside him. But if you are listening, mate, we could really do with a ragtime style Harold Lloyd intro song. Think Harold Lloyd, and also think anything Paul McCartney did sort of towards the White Album era when he just became obsessed with ragtime music, didn't he? Honey pie, you're driving me crazy. That's what we need. Straw boaters and some ragtime theme music.
Bringing ragtime back.
We'll be back on tour next year. Watch this space.
So it's in black and white. So like you say, there might have been some kind of print strike or something like that. 1984, strikes galore. Another rhyme there for you. So it's in black and white. We'll try and cope with it. I could have taken the time to colour these in for you, Sam, before I sent them over, but that's silly. So, yeah, Jeff Boycott's wandered in. He looks pleased with himself. It says, an uneasy silence fell. And Roy goes, thanks, Jeff, but I'm trying to... Jeff interrupts again. I'm assuming that defeat by Marlborough in the friendly match was just a one-off job. A slight hiccup, as they say. And then we close up Jeff Boycott's face and head. Like we do when Roy's going to say something important. It's the important close-up cut out of the head. But I'm certain you'll see off the opposition today. Whether it's cricket, football or anything else, I just can't stand losing.
Or in court cases with the French accusing me of absurd trump-top charges. And violence towards my wife.
I slapped her with the back of my hand. Surely that's not violence.
I've only observed the law of Yorkshire. Not certainly, no other county in England, and certainly not that of the French.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Jalapeño.
And then Jeff wanders out and Roy says, right. Now maybe we can get on with our team talk. Blackie thinks to himself, good grief, that was tricky.
Hopefully Roy's going right off Jeffrey and he'll start letting me come to the feathers again.
That's good news for yours truly. I might get the full quaalude on Wednesday.
I'm sick of just sniffing this flour and water concoction at me. It's doing nothing for
stinks.
Me. And the wife started to ask questions. Why are you hanging around the house? Why aren't you out with Roy? Why are you mixing up flour and water and sniffing it under the fucking tea towel over your head like you're eating one of them ortolans?
I swallowed some of it the other day. It was horrible.
Blackie. Yeah. I've noticed you've been moping around the house recently and you haven't been out to play with Roy. Have you and him ever had a little tip? No. Well, he hasn't been knocking round for you like
usual. We'll just play with other lads for a while.
We're taking a break. It proves that our relationship's stronger than ever. Is that what Roy told you? No, it's what I said. Okay.
Oh, he's got away to his dad's caravan. I just saw him down the shops. No, he can't. That must be someone else.
It was probably not caravan. Richards. He looks just like him.
Oh, Richards down the shops. Moments later, as the Rovers ran out, and I can't even make out who these players are that are talking because they're so fucking badly drawn in black and white, but the team, as they're going out, are having a little conversation. It might be Noel Baxter who says, "No one ever interrupts Roy's team talk, not even the chairman of the board." Another one says, "Well, Jeff Boycott did." Another one says, "And I don't think Racy was very pleased about it." Next frame's superb. I'm not sure who this might be Noel Baxter. He says, "You're right, he wasn't." And Roy has just willied the fucking ball straight past Charlie Carter, almost took his head off, from about 5 yards out. Look at his face. Utter determination and anger. Charlie says, "Hey, up, Roy, save some of that for Blackport." Blackport fans were already in good voice. "Hey, Roy, shouldn't your lot be wearing cricket boots and pads?"
"Oh, good one, you daft cunt, you witless twat."
Another one. "I reckon we'll win by 3 wickets. Ha, ha." They all shout. I mean, fucking hell, Jeff Boycott, for all of his faults, was one of the most legendary names in cricket during the 70s and 80s. That's disrespectful by Blackport.
Mm.
I'm not having it.
Well, they're not disrespecting him. They're just, they're really confused.
Well, I think they are.
Mind you, this is very reminiscent of when, we talked about this the other day, when Clive Woodward, is it, was made the chairman of Southampton. What was he? No, technical director of Southampton. Sort of similar vibes, isn't it? There's no real place for anyone. I don't believe in cross-sport fertilisation. That said, if, say, Jeff Capes was made technical director of West Ham, that's something I would welcome.
You'd embrace that. I'd embrace that. Anybody would. Yeah. "Ha, ha, ha," they shout. Jimmy Slade reacted angrily to the taunts. "Come on, Melchester. Let's shout old Jeff that we don't like losing either." "Right, let's go for it," shouts Neville Jones. And what could possibly go wrong? I think nothing. Soon after the kickoff, Jimmy Slade's getting right stuck in. "Ng!" Shouts the Blackport player. "Ng!" It's just
"Ng!"
But with a G on the end.
"Ng!" Look at the state of that Blackport player as well. He looks like he's stumbling about like fucking Quasimodo.
He looks older than Paddy Bonner.
Yeah.
"Oh, the ref didn't like that," shouts a Melchester fan as the ref blows his whistle. The ref has a word with Jimmy Slade, quite rightly. "Let's cut it out right now, Jimmy. One more tackle like that and you'll be going in my book." "Sorry, ref," says Jimmy Slade. The free kick! Exclamation mark. For some weird reason, it says there. And the free kick comes in from Blackport. It could be, I can't even see which team's which. This is a fiasco. This black and white nonsense. Fan shouts, "Far post! Blackport are looking for Archie Thompson!" Now, let's remember, we've heard from Archie Thompson already, haven't we?
Have we?
Blackie was detailed to keep an eye on him.
Oh, yeah.
Just as Jeff Boycott wandered in. Booted the door of the dressing room open.
Aye, cunts. Still playing football, are you? Like a bunch of women.
Yeah, I'll come to tell you how to do it. All sports are the same, you see. And I'm the best at mine. Archie Thompson was the league's second highest goal scorer the previous season. And he heads it. But Charlie Carter dives across and saves it. Saved! That was almost Thompson's first goal of this season. One of the fans says, responding to the description in the corner of the panel. Wake it up, Melchester!
Wake it up.
See Alec Aymore. Did you see this? Alec Aymore.
How's fucking Aymore clung on to a fucking job and a salary? You know,
He's still on the board, I think. But boycott's there. Boycott seems to still be on a quaalude.
He's sort of like, his eyes are all misted up and he's got this weird faraway smile on his face.
Maybe he just doesn't know anything about football.
I tell you what, Alec, I am tripping my fucking not insubstantial Yorkshire balls off here. Unbelievable feelings of elation mixed with a strange calm, a calmness I haven't felt for many years.
The calmness I exude at the crease as I knock out 75 runs across a period of 6.5 hours.
No better feeling, or so I thought, until I took this Quaalude tablet. This feeling is superior. First time I've taken it, apart from the three I took on previous days this week.
Amor says,
they're amazing people, the Americans, aren't they, Alec? First Levi jeans, now these. Have you ever tried an Oreo biscuit?
Whatever next?
Wonderful stuff.
Have you seen their motor cars? If you push them down at the back, they go up and down a bit. Weird.
Ronald Reagan is a tremendous man, a visionary in my opinion. And I truly believe that he will be the first American to have the balls to drop a fucking nuclear bomb on those bloody Soviets. And when he does, I will be the first there watching that mushroom cloud and applauding.
I have nothing further to say about America or Americans.
Please proceed.
Alec Amor says, I'm afraid the Rovers are trying too hard to impress you, Jeff. The boycott says, aye, especially Jimmy Slade. But it's not a bad thing. While Jimmy is in this mode, I have a hunch that Roy will see to it that he gets plenty of the ball.
Jimmy has got a wonderfully tight, firm little rear end. Wouldn't you agree, Alec? Oh, I suppose so, yes. No, you do not suppose. It's a simple yes or no question. What do you think he has a sexy bum? Okay, then, yes.
I've had dealings with Jimmy Slade in the past. A couple of years ago, I supplied him with what he called a spunk deflection shield when he was playing in that cricket in friendly against the Australians. There's a callback.
That was an American invention too. I had agreed to be the face of their brand as they rolled it out into the UK market. But unfortunately, it didn't get past the fucking red tape and regulators. Probably Brussels again.
The new chairman was right. Roy has given the ball to Jimmy Slade. Jimmy, he says, it's young Slade breaking on the right. Now, that's the fan, isn't it? It's young Slade breaking on the right. I'm sorry, I'm just receiving a series of deranged text messages from my daughter while I'm doing this. It's quite distracting. Regard the some nail varnish remover that's disappeared. I don't know which of the houses it's disappeared from. I don't think it's mine. He's covering every yard of the pitch. Watch race. He's looking for a far post ball. Now, that was a player that said that. Oh, I'm going to pieces here. Roy thinks that's exactly what I want you to think, Blackport. And then the bottom says, continued on colour page later in the issue.
They're saving money, aren't they, on the colour ink?
I don't know what this is about. Do you think it might be a cost
cutting? Fucking unions. National Print Union. Your National Union of Printers. To me, they're no better than the IRA themselves. Terrorists. Instead of bombs and guns, they are using ink and paper. The result is the same.
Hearts and minds.
The result is the same. A disruption of our way of life.
I despise them, but also slightly admire them. As a slight gap opened up, back in colour again, a slight gap opened up in the visitor's defence, Jimmy Slade has a shot. Jimmy's gone for it! And yes, it's back of the net. Yes! First goal of the season, and what a cracker! And Jimmy slaloms his way through his teammates, avoiding their hugs and kisses and all that. Jimmy's gone potty! Shouts one of the fans. Where's he going? Shouts a player. Heading for the director's box, I reckon. Shouts Vic Guthrie. Wahoo! Shouts Jimmy Slade as he runs around like a whirling dervish. And indeed he has. He's punching the air, pointing in the direction of the executive box, the director's box. And he shouts, "What about that then, Mr. Chairman? You're about to find out that you've just joined a bunch of winners." Hooray! Shout all the fans. Fucking Jimmy Sleard, arse-licking the new chairman. Dear one. Alec Amor, one of the senior directors, it says, was horrified. "Sorry about that, Jeff. I'll have a word with young Slade at half-time." Boycott has now broken out into a grin as his Quaalude High enters its fourth hour, or perhaps he's mixed it with something else. It's bringing him back up. Don't know. He says, "Don't you dare. If my presence inspires Jimmy to score goals like that, we could be in for an eventful season." Yeah. So Jimmy Slade has lost his mind because Jeff Boycott is now the chairman of Melchester Rovers. Because in the next panel, he shouts, "Mine!" And he runs in towards one of the opposition.
I don't know whether he's been on the old iron filings or something like that, but maybe. Look at the way he's running. He's like a maniac.
Yeah. Well, in that last panel at the end, he's running like he's got the same stance as a speed skater has.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to think where I'd seen that stance before. He's fucking gone bananas. What can I say? I fucking love football and I love Jeff Boycott and I can't get enough of scoring fucking goals. Everyone get out of my fucking way. It's me, Jimmy Speed Skater. You know, I could have been a ski skater. Speed skater, isn't it? How do you say it, right? Is it speed skater or speed skater or skate speeder? Right? I could have been that in the Olympics. My PE teacher, Mr. Hunt, told me that, but I chose football instead, right? Do you know why, right? Because I wanted to play with you, right? Jimmy, I'm going to have to punch you in the face now, right? I don't want you to take it personally, but I've seen this before. You've gone into what's known as an on-field frenzy. Have you been sniffing the gay drug poppers? Yeah, I had a couple of toots of it in the dressing room.
I'm going to have to lie down on you now, Jimmy, and smother you until you reduce your breathing limits.
There is only one way to reverse the effects of poppers on the mind and arsehole, and that is to punch it out of the victim. And that is what I'm about to do to you, Jimmy. Do you understand?
You have to bleed
it out.
Yes,
that's fine, Rod. Punch me as much as you want. I feel so alive. I feel I can take anything.
So he's running like a speed skater and the fan shouts, "Slade's going in hard. Too hard. The ref won't let him off this time." And there's an interesting pitch side advertising banner there. Dawson's
something. Interesting.
I don't know what they sell. Maybe we'll find out next week. So Jimmy Slade is about to fucking commit an act of violence, it looks like. We'll find out what happens. It says next week. And it's some speech marks. Jeff Boycott wants results, but not at the cost of being sent off. Which is a bit of a clue what's going to happen, I think, really. Jimmy Slade's going to get in a lot of trouble. Marks out of 10 for that one, Sam.
10.
I'll give it 10 as well. I'm enjoying the Jeff Boycott era immensely.
I think
he sticks around longer than Alf Ramsey did.
Boycott is an absolute genius introduction and a gift from the content gods.
Yeah, with that old six-a-side tournament that's been depressing us so much is very much forgotten now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it from that one. We'll be back with more next time. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.